half hour on Classic FM 97.3 with Ugo Dre. It's another beautiful Monday morning. And we have another interesting guest in the studio with us, but he will introduce himself as time goes on. Good morning, Ugo.
Hi, Bukola. Morning.
How are you doing?
How are you? Couldn't make it last week.
Yeah, I knew. I wasn't expecting
you. Yeah, we're celebrating Independence Day and had some very, very important engagement. All right, Lagos, welcome to Business Half Hour. If you're listening to the show for the first time, we do this every Monday, 8 to 8.30. Show is basically packaged by the amazing guys at Naira Metrics. On this show, we always bring you some of the like very interesting entrepreneurs, people who are doing different things, different fields of endeavor, from fintech to people who just trade, to people who even do consulting, PR, digital media. I'm like the whole spectrum, Bukola. Like, we've had some amazing people on this show, a lot of them very young as well.
I honestly, their strength, I can't fathom. I don't know where they get the strength from. And the determination is quite impressive
as
well. So we need to give it to them.
Makes you feel like you should just, reverse your years. Like, go back like 10. Like, why didn't I do all these things, right? And a lot of these guys, like, you need to see them, like, basically hustle their way, and they're very, very proud of what they do. So, I mean, it's amazing stuff, though. And I mean, despite the very harsh economy and, the relative, few opportunities for them to do things. And these guys, we had somebody who was selling jerseys on this show, remember?
I know.
Yeah. Even somebody who does online dating, matchmaking.
That would blew everyone away. Everyone was quite interested.
All right, Lagos. So, this is the third quarter. Fourth quarter of the year, and I think fourth season into this amazing stream of episodes we'll have on Business Half Hour, where we brought you guests who basically come here to relay their experiences. So as usual, we've got another guest on the show. As usual, we would appreciate if you introduce yourself. You're all smiles. You're really excited to be here.
He's a happy fellow.
Go ahead. Who are you?
All right. Good morning. Good morning, Nigeria. Good morning, Lagos. My name is Debo Ajayi. I'm CEO of Endive Digital. Thank you. I'm CEO of Endive Digital. All right. Endive is a digital marketing business designed to help organizations in Nigeria scale and grow their businesses. Primarily that's what we do at Endive, essentially.
All right, cool. So digital media, digital marketing agency.
Yeah.
Interesting. A lot of the guys that we had on this show basically, had to do a lot of stuff, like very creative things to basically boost or market, a lot of their businesses or their ideas. So we're gonna get into how one can actually rely on digital media to actually push products. But let's flash back into like your life.
Is it the same as digital marketing? No.
Yeah, digital marketing.
It's all only within the same umbrella. Okay. So let's flash back into like how this all started. Did you work before somewhere? I mean, did you apprentice somewhere, or it was a regular 9-to-5 like some of us? I mean, like, wait, what was your life like before now?
My career story is really very, I didn't know where to start from. Worked in quite a number of places. What has happened is I'm what I call a lifelong learner. So to most businesses, I'm the kind of guy that is a flight risk. So I go anywhere I've ever gone in my life, I've gone to learn a particular skill for a particular reason. So let's just track back a bit. So I went to university, finished about 10 years ago. Went to Buffalo Law University, Ile-Ife, studied mechanical engineering. At that point in my life, I was determined to be a mechanic. Like, I actually was going to build cars in Nigeria. That was the dream.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I think 100 level, 200 level, still had the same dream. 300 level, I said, no, I'm in the wrong place. Like, I can't even fix a car. Like, no, fix. I can't start a car. Like, what's going on here? So just kept on doing that. But I noticed in school that I had a passion to help businesses start and scale. So right from university, I started giving money to small businesses down there to start up.
Are you serious? Like, your own money? Pocket
my own
money?
My own money, yes.
Wow.
I mean, as at that time, I used to sell clothes in school, so I had a bit of change. Okay. So I used to give, I mean, so I suppose if I remember correctly, in the West, I think there were like 15 businesses I trying they to support. Mm. Yeah, add money in, kind of. A few of them have gone to do great stuff. Many of them
just gone down the line. It's always like that. There's always that one unicorn that will pay for all the rest.
Yes, actually. Okay, so I mean, that encouraged me actually, and then left school, worked in a few places. But for many years, I was a project. I still am actually a project management professional.
Okay.
I was a PMP expert, so a bit of a stint in the construction industry.
Okay.
As a construction project manager, I did that for a long time. But what I did was hone my skill in project management to a point where I could handle different types of projects across different spectrum and then digital. So what happened was I got a call once from someone out of the country saying that a certain foreign brand was coming to Nigeria, and they ended a project management expert to help them structure their entry into the market. And someone referred me, someone said something about me, checked me out and saw that, oh, this guy is young, but he knows what he's doing. And I'm like, I know nothing about it. Marketing. I don't have the faintest idea. And he said, yeah, but you're a project manager that knows project. I said, yes. He said, that means you know that you don't have to know nothing about digital. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, they say so, but I mean, I always like to have an idea about the industry I want to play in. And he said, just do this as a consultant. Let's do it for a few months. Let's see how it goes. Let's see whether or not you like it. This was 5 years ago, and I'm still here today
doing the same thing. So basically, this is like an accidental entry into digital marketing. So it wasn't like you planned to before. Nah. And you've been here 5 years now.
Yes.
All right. So you know, after that first gig,
I got a full job.
Okay.
Working for one foreign agency. Foreign agency, you know, that just came to Nigeria. They were handling still one of the biggest brands in Nigeria now. And I went in as a project manager then, and just at about the point I started working with them, our only client then, which was our biggest client, went into some sort of serious crisis with the federal government. So I just got thrust straight into action. So I was a project manager designed to resolve the issue. So we had to create a project to try to resolve that issue, and so I had to learn very fast on the job, you know. But after that crisis was mitigated, it took I think about a year. I left that organization like, okay, I was drained, I was exhausted, I was done. You know what? I'm not doing this anymore. So left, but because of the experience I had there, I had about a few briefs, I had a few people call me and say, hey, we know you're good at this, come help us handle our digital. There's something here, you know, so did that for a bit. Then realized that I didn't know enough about the business of digital.
Okay.
Even though I knew enough about digital itself.
That's the operations itself.
Yeah, running the business and all that. So I folded up my first digital marketing business.
Okay.
I went to work for one of the biggest brands and agencies. Did that for about almost 2 years.
Acquired enough experience.
Yeah, it rose through the ranks very quickly because I was there for a reason. They had the division that failed actually.
So okay.
To run that division. They were like, this is a trap. If you don't get to where you get fired. I said, I'm aware. I'm going to stay here long.
So why not just do it?
And in about a year, it became the most profitable part of the business.
Incredible.
So that taught me that I learned enough about the business of digital. And when it was steady, I left.
Cool. Can you imagine? Eh? It just acquired that knowledge and just took off to form your own stuff. So forming the business, right? So when you now set out, so, you know, to now start your own thing. Yeah. Did you require any kind of capital, you know, to start? Or did you, and then if you did, you know, require capital, I mean, how did you fund it?
Okay. Fortunately or unfortunately, when it comes to the communications business in the world generally, a lot of times you get clients that will give you a brief and then you have to finance the execution yourself and get paid at a later date usually. What happened, I mean, going back to work for someone or to actually apprentice, that's what I went to do, even though my bosses were not fully aware of what I was
your
doing
mission
there,
yeah,
was that I was able to, you know, build relationships. And it wasn't about just getting my job done, it was about satisfying clients, building relationships, and actually growing a reputation in a certain space. So how I started, did I need capital? Yes. Did I have all the money I needed? No. So what I did, to how I was able to navigate that, the dicey financial water, I was ready to leave for a while, just wanting to leave, but you know that final step to just leave,
yeah, that courage,
yeah, just drop it. I mean, family and all that,
yeah.
And I mean, I resigned quite a number of times. I mean, I consider resigning very easy, consider it, but not after you have a wife and every child.
I know, like, hey. So it's tough. Tell me about it.
So it's tough, right? So what happened was, so I didn't know when I was going to leave. I gave myself a deadline and all of that, and then a client of my, someone that was a potential client to my previous agency, called me and said, let's talk. And so the client said, hey, we have this brief, we're considering giving your agency, but we're not sure what to give them. So we want an assurance that you personally sit on this brief. And I said, ah, unfortunately, I'm resigning. They're like, yes.
Oh, they wanted that.
I don't understand. They're like, you're going to do your own thing, right? I said, yes. I said, okay, so we actually wanted to give you the brief, but we don't know if you're ready to leave or not leave. But I'm like, I don't have resources. I don't have the tools I need to execute your brief. I don't have a team yet. And I said, yeah, we'll wait for you. Our business will wait until you are ready.
Aren't you lucky?
I am. You know, so I said, we'll wait for you. So it took me 2 months to set up a few things. I had to run around, family and friends, get somebody, get things ready. And, you know, I came at the first meeting to start that, I mean, the first major project, right? And he said to me, you know, we don't pay until after pay connection or anything, but because, you know, I just started, we want to support
you. We just give you small.
And as we're speaking, I said, Baka, and I looked at my
friend. A lot.
What? Slutty like that.
And I'm like, you know what, we die here.
All right, cool, cool stuff.
That's class here today.
Oh, cool, cool stuff. Tell me a bit, like, the experience, because we always talk about tutelage, right? Yeah. Like, trying to, like, do a little bit of apprenticeship and not really be in a hurry to just dive into business. And some entrepreneurs that we've brought on these shows, you know, sitting where you're sitting, some that are actually started out, never had, you know,
an experience
before. They've always said that, look, if they could do it again, they'll probably go and get experience, because, I mean, you really can't buy that.
You can't buy that.
So, I mean, share with us, you know, with our listeners, before we go on break, though, but share with our listeners quickly. I mean, that, you know, apprenticeship that you got, how has it actually helped you today, and how do you think it's going to keep helping you going forward?
Learning, not just, you see, there's skill, there's learning, there's knowledge, there's skill, and then there's the actual execution of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Apprenticeship takes you beyond just having an head knowledge or a sense knowledge, and takes you into the actual practice of a thing, and that changes everything. For me, this is how it started. I can remember being in university. I mentioned earlier that I actually wanted to build cars in Nigeria.
Yeah.
So I can remember my 200 level IT in school, where we're just doing what we call CWES. We're just taking lectures in university up and down campus. So I can remember going to a mechanic workshop in town, then in Ife. I'm saying to one old mechanic that I'd like to learn from you. Looks at me like,
is this guy serious?
A student, like, you guys don't even say hello to us. It's like, you don't even have a car. So what's the interest? I just want to learn. Said, but you know, he taught me that the way apprenticeship works is, you learn everything except the thing you want to learn in the first few months. I'm like, see, whatever it takes, I'll learn. So I came by resuming to a mechanics workshop as an undergraduate in Ife for, I mean, I didn't last. I think I did about 6 weeks. But for the first 4 weeks, all I did was go and buy food, go and buy water.
Imagine.
And I was upset, but I understood. I saw that there was a process in this thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, why would you?
Even at that rudimentary level, they still have their own process.
Oh, they do. Because for him, if I wasn't going to do that, then I was going to listen
to him. Testing?
Yeah.
Is it testing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The respect and humble you.
So it was hard. And, you know, people like, hey. You know, so that taught me a lot. And I mean, I just telling about cars when, you know, the CWES was over. As usual, if I went on strike again, we had to go home. And, you know, so that kind of shaped my mind. I realized that there was more to know than, I mean, I knew all the theory, because, I mean, I've always loved cars. So I read all the literature on cars and everything. So coming back to, you know, digital, so just knowing how a business is actually run and how these things you know in your head actually apply to your clients, and seeing things from a different perspective is priceless.
Well, would you consider yourself, I mean, because I'm listening to you now and, you know, some of your antecedents back in university, would you consider yourself, I mean, if there's any such thing, as a natural entrepreneur?
Tough question. I'll say yes, because, and I think there is something like that, but a natural entrepreneur is someone that has the tendency to want to dive out, take the risk. I think the difference is in risk appetite.
Okay.
Essentially. Okay. And I also believe that, I mean, I come from a family where my dad has run his business since before I was born.
Okay.
And he's run a couple of businesses. And I remember from secondary school going to work with him sometimes in the early days, and even in university. And even when I left school, one of the jobs I took was working under my dad for a while. You know, I woke up one day and said, I wasn't doing this anymore. And he couldn't understand it. Like, I'm going to hand over all these things to you one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, it doesn't make sense to have finished university to take my first job and I'm the boss. Something wasn't quite right in my mind about that equation. Yeah. I mean, I was leaning under someone, which was my dad, yes, but I was still the boss. Like, I'm more guy, you know, that respect. And I'm like, nah, this doesn't work. So I quit. And my dad was like, I don't understand why you're going to quit on good potential.
So you're really good at quitting jobs, though. Just quit and move on.
He's restless.
No, I am very restless. Like, I'm at the brink of quitting again.
Can you imagine?
And it's my own business.
Oh, my God. All right, Lagos. We'll be speaking to Debo Ajayi. Debo is the CEO of Endive Projects, a creative design and digital marketing agency based in Lagos. He's our entrepreneur guest for the day. We're going to go on a short break, and we'll be back.
So it's all about not giving up on business. Half hour when you get to listen to the entrepreneurs, their determination and the way they just go at it is quite amazing and encouraging as well. We have Debo in the studio with us. He's restless.
Yes, and appears to be a natural born entrepreneur. If there's anything like that, this guy's quit so many jobs. My God, he looks like he might even quit his own job. You know? Anyway, Debo, welcome back. Welcome back. If you're just listening, Lagos, this is Business Half Hour. Ugo Dre is on air. Metrics brings you, or just brought you, another interesting entrepreneur on the show. Remember that if you miss any episode or even our previous radio shows, you can always visit our website nairametrics.com/podcast to get, you know, our past episodes. And of course, you can always listen to it on your, you know, podcast on your iTunes or your SoundCloud or anywhere you actually listen to podcasts. So Debo, welcome back. So let's dive in a bit into the business of digital marketing and digital media. There's so many of you guys now. I don't know, like,
not enough.
I always thought like there were just like so many, like,
not enough.
So if they're not enough, then it means there's a lot of money in here, man. Like,
okay.
So well, where's the money? Like, how do you follow the money in all of this? So okay. If somebody listening is like, how do these guys make money anyway?
There are a lot of digital marketers not making money. And this is why, I mean, it makes sense to actually do an apprenticeship and to actually be deliberate about what you do. So I'm part of an association in the US that believes that we need globally another maybe 3 million digital marketing agencies.
Whoa.
Yes. And this is
how many businesses do we have globally?
We have billions.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so this is why I'm averagely right. We need about one digital marketing firm to a maximum of 30 companies. Mm. And what has already started happening and is going to happen a lot more is that businesses are just going to change the dynamics of how they run their marketing. So we're going to go a lot more online because it's more affordable and more manageable than just being traditional about our marketing. So I think that there's a market, there's a growing market, and there are opportunities for people to grow their businesses. Our business model, pretty simple, pretty straightforward, and it's built just around our customers and understanding what they really want. So a lot of businesses are structured to make money. We are. But more than to make money, we're structured to ensure that our clients get the best value out of digital. So let me backtrack a bit. There are a lot of digital agencies out there, a lot of digital marketers as consultants and as individuals. But the problem with this business is that if you do not understand the business of your clients, and if you are not in within the funnel to make them money, they get tired of you pretty easily. And a lot of people, when they do digital, they don't promise you profits. They just promise you impressions and reach. And if you can't quantify that to a business, then there's a problem.
How do you do that, though? I mean, like, I struggle with that, too, sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so advertisers come to you and say, look, oh, we have this campaign. You know, how much can I get out of it? And you're wondering, like, how are you gonna guarantee how much you're going to get out of it?
So there's a difference, right? There's digital marketing, which is what a lot of us do, and there's digital selling.
Okay.
Now, brands don't even know the difference. So, I mean, when it comes to marketing, your KPIs are pretty straightforward. Reach, in terms of number of listeners for a radio station, for example, in terms of, activations in a sense. So, I mean, people actually downloaded the podcast, for example, and that's cool.
Okay.
But can we translate this to sales? The answer is yes.
Okay.
So you need, I mean, and this is where being a strategist, I think, helps. So what I do in my mind is I actually build a funnel, and I'm able to explain to my clients, these are easy to get objectives. These are the marketing objectives. These are what we want them to do. Mm-hmm. Now, if they do this, these are the things we can get them to do later. Now, but I'm always very clear. So this is what your budget is for. This is what you're paying for. This is what we're going to get. Now, we can get this, this, and this if we do this, this, and this. Now, to a lot of my clients, it looks like I'm just trying to upsell or actually make a lot of money, which is true.
Sure.
But because I would take time to understand your business, I would actually show you clearly how our activities can become cash for you or can become profitable. And then what then happens? Say, no, we don't believe what you're saying. Just do this for us. So by the time, you know, they've streamlined what I'm about to do, because they want to pay what they want to pay.
Yeah.
When the results come out, see, they cannot now say to me, oh, we didn't make sales. But I told you that this is
that how. Is what you
so transparency is for me is critical, right? And I'm very clear about what I can achieve and not achieve. I've turned down businesses that are making me a lot of money when I understand what your KPIs are clearly, and I know that I'm not going to be able to achieve them.
Doesn't translate
budget or your processes.
And that's another thing, though, like trying to tie budgets to results and all that. All right. So, I mean, like, it's amazing that you're saying that, we don't even have enough digital, you know, media agencies. And I think from the way you've described it, I think it's kind of easy to discern what where the money is here. But, I mean, businesses like this do face challenges.
Oh, yes.
top three challenges, what would you
talent,
say?
Talent.
Everybody says that. I was supposed to go to say, yes, it had to be talent. Like, Why is talent? I mean, for startups and small businesses, why is talent such a huge problem?
Okay, because this is exactly what I tell my team. Here's the thing. There are many big agencies that can do what we do, that can do it better, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the problem with agencies are that they take their time. Because I've been in agencies before.
Right? Yeah.
Agencies take their time to discuss a brief. They have a very long process.
So they're not very nimble.
Teams, mm. They're not nimble. So we have one or two advantages. One is that we can execute the brief faster.
Mm.
Two is we can do a better job, because see, when we have your brief, it is all our lives.
All your lives, they just pour everything into it.
Exactly. So we don't get a second chance. So I tell my team, you know what? Let's do this as if it's the last thing. Now the problem here is this: because we're a startup, we cannot afford to hire the kind of talent we want.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have to start with people that are learning.
Yeah.
And then to start with that, to start with people that are coming up, because that's what you can afford to pay.
Mm.
It's also challenging, because now they cannot deliver on the level that you
want. Exactly.
That balance is
that's a real state of flux.
Yeah. Mm. But being someone that's worked in a few agencies, and I kind of have walked through most of the departments deliberately because I knew what I was doing.
Mm.
There are just maybe one or two functions in the entire value chain of digital that I cannot do myself.
Yeah.
So it becomes a case of, you know, they give me a piece of work and I'm like, bro, really?
So it means you have to be involved at nearly every stage of production. It's tough, though. This really resonates with me, and because I've spoken to a lot of entrepreneurs, and this is one problem that they have. Like, look, you know, at that startup stage, especially your first 5-6 years, you always have to get really. In fact, sometimes you don't even have time for vacation. Like, you're basically where you're vacationing, you're probably even working as well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah, because it's really tough. Yeah. But I mean, that's how you can get back.
They want to start their businesses because they're tired of working for someone. And like, you go from working for one person to working for everybody.
Exactly.
Off, you can't take your eyes off the ball. It's much tougher than people think it is, actually.
Yeah, really tough. So let's go down to the business of, you know, digital media and all. Like, for a lot of startups now, what I've noticed is that people really leverage a lot on social media to push a lot of their business. Mm-hmm. Is that something that they are missing, especially when, I mean, they don't want to use digital media agencies? Because some people are like, man, I can't afford it right now. Like, fantastic. You know, let me just go on my own. Is it out of naivety, or do you think that, you know, they have to get to a certain level before they start to call, you know, folks like you?
I think so. Because what happens is, if you can't afford to call folks like me and you go to people that are really affordable, more often than not, you have a bad experience, so you ask hard.
Mm.
So what I say to people is, do it yourself. But to do it yourself, empower yourself. There are a lot of courses online.
Mm.
Audrey, let me tell you the truth. When I knew I was going to come down this route, I had a bit of experience, right? And I started doing courses.
Mm.
I've done 4 or 5 courses that cost me a minimum of $1,000 each.
Whoa.
Global courses, global certifications.
Whoa.
It wasn't, this was my life. This was my going to be my business. I wasn't taking it for granted.
Mm.
So I done courses. And I mean, there are a ton of free courses that are good enough, but there's a certain level that some paid courses will take you to, certain communities that
true.
Like some communities where you give me a brief today, I have templates for almost any kind of brief that have been designed by experts in the field that have like maybe 15, 20 years experience. But I'm paying through my nose for this kind of tools.
Mm.
So people are like, you like paying for tools. I'm like, it makes my life easier.
I'm telling you.
I'm making as much money as people think I should be making, but I'm building something that can make me that amount of money pretty easily.
Mm.
So just about, you know, gauging what your objectives are. If you're in for the long haul, then do what it takes. So for people that are just starting out, learn. There are free courses. There are a few paid courses, $1, $10. We don't like to, I don't understand.
We don't like to pay for things. Yeah. Like, you just like free things. Just free downloads, everything is free.
So get a programmer that can hack and get, okay. I'm a digital marketer.
You know, but I mean, but I feel you. And I kind of agree, right? Especially when, you know, whatever line of business that you're in, you really want to be a professional, then you have to, you know, act like one. So, I mean, constant learning is very important, you know, to this hustle. So, you know, involve yourself in other things. You know, and there's one thing trying to be, you know, somebody that you're not, right? So you want to be a digital marketer, but you really don't know the business of digital marketing. You're not even a professional per se, right? Yeah, maybe you're just one guy who just, you know, jumped into the business. Exactly. And all of a sudden just start. Yeah, so there's a lot of professionalism to that. All right, so let's, as we get towards the, you know, the end of the show, there are a few, you know, projects that you probably handled that
yes.
that you probably like. There's one that I heard you did. I don't know if it's you, but you know, on the show, my guys were like, you were on the team for yes. you know, one of the most controversial ads in Nigeria this year. You know, one bank shooting down several other banks. I'm not gonna name the name of the bank, but I heard you were on that team.
I can't even take credit for this. Okay, so that particular brand.
So tell us how that thing happened, though. Even if it wasn't you directly, but I'm sure you know the story behind it.
So that
don't mention any bank's name,
course,
anyway.
Of course not. So that particular brand, I said a bank. So that particular brand, I think they have a few agencies on internship.
Mm-hmm.
We happen to one of those agencies.
Right? Okay.
So I can remember having conversations. I mean, actually, initially hearing chatters within the team that it's going to happen. And I'm like, what's happening here? I wish I was to go down this route. I mean, for me, this is exciting, but okay, be sure. But I think the good thing about these things are, when it comes to doing stuff online, you need to have the boldness to dare new stuff. There are a lot of things we have done for that brand and for other brands that have failed. You know, and half of the time I'm dealing with crisis actually when it comes to digital. Maybe because that's actually where I am on my trade. I mean, I cannot say that the first big brand I worked with, I just became project manager there and it was a major crisis. So for me, crisis is fun. I like to go into it. So when they said, I like, you know what? So I was thinking about the crisis management point of view. So what risk assessments? What are the issues we can face? And then we discovered that what's the biggest thing will be sanctioned by the governing body. We apologize. I'm thinking that was obvious that that was the biggest risk we had. Was it good? Let's do this.
And there's something about, you know, I mean, like, you know, I've been reading some books lately and some podcasts, and it was interesting. It was interesting listening to some of the amazing Coca-Cola and Pepsi ads of, you know, of the 70s and what it took to do some of those things. That's incredible stuff. In fact, there was one I read recently. There's one book I'm reading. It's about habits, you know, and they were talking about toothpaste. Because I was scared when I read that. Like, apparently, the guy, I've forgotten his name, like, he's a donor advertising. You probably know him. Like, one of the best advertisers ever in the world, like, in the 1910s or 1920s or so. The first major toothpaste, that guy basically, it's because of him that we brush our teeth every morning. Like, really, in the 20s and 30s, having, you know, to brush your teeth wasn't really, like, important.
It would have been
right?
crazy back.
So he sold it. Like, he sold it and he turned it into a habit. So today, when you wake up every morning, you have to brush your teeth. Like, so people actually do that over time. So it's an incredible, you know, that profession. So, I mean, Dakwesme, it's been great having
fantastic.
You on the show. Debo, rather. Yeah. So usually when we close the show, Debo, we basically, you know, have one-liners, right? So,
what's your mantra?
Like, what's your mantra? If you got that thing that guides you, the way you're moving, it looks as if you've got one, like, punchy one you want to share.
Exactly.
So, what is yours, though?
Okay, so it's one. I'm still trying to decide on the mantra, funny enough, something I've been working on for the past few months. But I think it will be help businesses grow.
All right. A hustler once said, help businesses grow. All right, Lagos. So we've been speaking to Debo Ajayi. Debo is the CEO of Endive Projects and Creative, a creative design and digital media agency based in Lagos. He's our entrepreneur guest
For the day, and it's been really, really an amazing show. I kind of enjoyed this one. Like, I wish my business was at a level where I can just, you know, have you just come on, do some digital media stuff for us. But now, one of these days, this is gonna happen. We're gonna talk about it. All right. So remember, if you just tune in and you missed the show, we do this every Mondays, 8 to 8:30 a.m. You can also catch us on our website, www.nairametrics.com/podcast. You can replay this and listen to it anytime you like. We also have several other past episodes as well, amazing entrepreneurs that we've had on the show all year round. You can listen to their podcast on your iTunes or your Android phones or whatever it is that you use, even SoundCloud. You can always listen to it. So, Bukola, that is our show for the week. I hope you enjoyed this one, though.
Yes, I did. Thank you. For the restless man, enjoy the rest of your day. Have a lovely week.